so serious.
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game? Yeah!
Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it, man. Woo! I waited for the appropriate amount of time to say hello.
Great success, great success.
Welcome to the Toy Department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. I wasn't really supposed to be here today. I'm actually doing this podcast at work on my day off.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Basically because Kolsky was trying to make a move on me.
That's not what was happening.
He's like, hey, do you mind if I do the podcast with somebody else? I'm like, isn't it a little early to be bringing spice into our podcast relationship?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it could have been an ill-fated idea by me. and frankly, ultimately, I probably would have ended up just doing it by myself for lack of opportunity to find someone who was willing to do it. But
this is starting to sound like a real relationship.
Yeah, but you know, I just felt like, you know, it's also early to take a 2-week break was my thought.
I did like how you just sort of floated the idea. Like, we weren't like, hey, what do you think if? I was like, oh.
Nah, if you had been like, hey, listen, I can't do it, but I don't want you to fill in for me. I'd have been like, all right, whatever. Now you know. Now that you're in work on your day off, you know that.
All right. Well, thanks for nothing. Star Wars on the show today, because we've both seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then I have maybe somewhere a little dark that I want to take it, but it's just... I feel like it's something I want to get off my chest, so we'll...
If it makes you feel any better, yesterday, for whatever reason, I can't explain it, I decided it was a day to jump out of the toy department on the sports radio station, where I decided to try to say something semi-serious about the horrible and, I think, very frequent use of a particular gay slur in the sports world, and I have been in... Twitter hell since that time, essentially.
Really? Well, you did pick a fight with the most rational segment of Twitter.
Yeah. No, I know. I knew what I was
defending the right to
I knew what I was doing when I did it.
Gaisler's Twitter.
That's kind of why I did it. Is like, I knew at least half the tweets I got in response would be basically screw you, toughen up.
It's another version of. You know, if you don't like America, get out.
Yeah, right? It kind of is, only I think it's much worse. And I would also just say that, like, again, it's a snake eating itself, because it's the fact that people respond that way that makes it such a big problem. And again, I should make the point, not again here, but again in my life, that I don't mind if someone says, you, you're an idiot to me, you know, that's fine as a general principle. You dumb f***er, I can't believe you think that the 49ers could have won 7 games under different circumstances. That's all fine.
Do you really think that?
That's a conversation for another time, but yes.
You dumb f***er.
Exactly, and I'm totally cool with that.
Circumstances Jim Tomsula not coaching the team?
No, but let's not talk about the 49ers. The point is, I'm not upset at harsh language. I'm upset at bigoted language. And that was, anyway.
Well, this is, again, this is outside the,
I think so too. Because I love saying f***. I say it all the time. And even though I've just had to go back and bleep out like 7 of them here, I still enjoy it.
I also think that there's a distinction to be made in saying, like, you know, between saying, like, well, this is the way it is. This is just what happens. And accepting that.
Right.
Like, you can understand that, yes, this goes on.
Correct.
That doesn't make it okay.
Correct.
And it doesn't mean that you should just throw up your hands and go, well, that's what people say.
Right. I
mean,
and it's a hard conversation to have, especially on, you know, on sports radio or in a scenario like this where we've promised not to talk about serious things. You
All
know,
right, you're but, right. We are headed towards serious things. And I'm going to do that again later. So let's start with Star Wars, man.
Woo!
What did you think?
I saw it. I would compare it. Before getting into what I thought specifically about the movie, from a, like, emotional perspective, I would compare it to Creed, because in the same Did you see Creed yet?
I haven't seen Creed yet, okay. But I read the Alan Sepinwall review of Star Wars that made this point that I think you're about to make.
Oh, I did not read that review, yeah. but my point is simply that for the second time in a month for me, I got to go to a theater and enjoy an installment in a series or world that I was once desperately in love with. And whether or not it was a phenomenal film, both of these movies made me feel good and remember why I fell in love with the franchise in the first place. And I think to a degree, specifically with Star Wars, which had the three prequels that were such a mess and so atrocious, that was the most important thing. That when I sat down in The Force Awakens, or rather when I got up at the end of The Force Awakens, I felt good about the Star Wars world.
Yes and no for me on that.
Really?
Yes. I had that exact same experience. Like, it was completely enjoyable from start to finish. I was never bored. I didn't check my watch. I was like, this is good. It's really well put together. It's a well-executed film. It's better than some of the originals in certain ways.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? In terms of artistic quality, mm-hmm, and competence.
Agreed.
However...
Uh-oh.
My feeling about the movie, I feel like has diminished every day since I've seen it.
Hmm.
And the thing that's really just stuck with me, was it's so derivative of the first movie.
Yes.
To the point in which it's almost a reboot of movie one, as opposed to a sequel.
By movie one, of course, I think we mean
four,
A New Hope episode.
Yes,
four.
A New Hope. The one that chronologically we all saw.
Correct.
First.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and you know, I guess this is mild spoiler alert. We're not going to really spoiler anything, but you know, just comparing it to that movie, it has touchstones that feel similar.
Not just touchstones, plot points.
Yes, well, that's what I mean. Touchstones, yeah, from a plot perspective. Character-wise, I don't know. Character-wise, I thought it, just by virtue of like having a female lead, and you know, there were enough things shaken up from a character perspective for me.
Dude, it was one step away from like watching a Law and Order riff from the headlines where they just take a character and change the name or sex a little bit. You know what I mean?
Like, kind of, yes.
You tell me you weren't watching, and even in the movie, and going, okay, well, here's the Luke Skywalker, and oh, here's the Han Solo.
But I will say this.
Sometimes it was, oh, they took Han Solo and made him into two different characters.
Right, and
you know
here's
what I mean?
And like, there's the Darth Vader and all that,
yeah,
stuff. I get it. Yes, that's
Luke Skywalker's
true.
Going to be the Yoda in the next one. You know what I mean? Like,
well, except that here's the thing. I think the full interpretation you're taking depends on some assumptions. And I'll say the movie puts us in a place where the natural assumptions lead to the conclusion that this is almost the same movie as A New Hope. But I do think they're assumptions to a degree. So I'm prepared to leave the jury out on some of that stuff till I see how they actually do it.
What about having the giant battle station that has a glaringly obvious fatal flaw?
Right. That's just three times the size of the original. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's incredibly derivative. But again... To me, I let me put it this way. If J.J. Abrams had sat me down before the movie was fully written or realized in any way and said to me, okay, I've got two goals here, to create an exciting original Star Wars story and to reinvigorate the franchise from a perspective of, okay, we're now in a world where... A friend of mine on Facebook yesterday... wrote this a thrilled post that said, I'm so glad I can now say that my children live in a world where new Star Wars movies don't suck. And I really think that's important. And if J.J. Abrams had sat me down and said, I'm going to have to prioritize one of these things. I either prioritize not sucking or I prioritize really coming up with a totally original story, but risk it somewhat sucking. I'll take the not sucking.
That's great. It's a totally false choice, but it's great.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, it's a false choice, but I mean, the last ones sucked and weren't original, so at least we're halfway there.
You have a competent guy at the head of a franchise where, you know, just kind of economically, you know, this thing is going to rake in a ton of money.
Yeah, even
no matter what.
Even the prequels did.
So there's an incredible amount of freedom and ability to take risk there. why wouldn't you go for both of those things?
I mean, I think he did to a degree. I think he tried to, right?
Let me put it this way. Like, if I sat you down and said, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a story in 9 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But chapters 4 and chapter 7 are basically going to be the same.
I would say
that would diminish the story a little bit, wouldn't it?
I would say Hegel teaches that history inevitably repeats itself.
It does, but not drama necessarily.
That's a fair point.
I feel like that's a fairly serious flaw in the arc of this whole thing. And like you said, yes, it's an assumption, but there are many signs that point to chapter 8 repeating chapter 5.
Yes.
So,
here's what I would say. For me, I am okay with how much chapter 7 repeated chapter 4 if chapter 8 sort of hands us a different twist than chapter 5 did. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The setup, if we consider the first movie a setup, the first movie of a trilogy, you know, within the Star Wars 9 film series, if we consider each trilogy in and of itself to a degree and consider the first film of those three to be a setup, yes, this setup looks a lot in many ways like the episode 4 setup. I still believe the episode 8 payoff could be different in a lot of ways, and we'll see.
I want to raise an idea to you, and it's that at the end of the day, you know, like the long-term impact of this movie on your, you know, on your feelings, on your soul, on your vibe mm-hmm. about the Star Wars series is ultimately going to rest on the story. Not on the way the movie was put together, or that it was, you know, largely better acted, or the effects were, you know, or newer and neater and whatever. None of that's going to matter. And I saw this on Twitter, so it's not totally my idea, but I want to raise this question to you. You know what the number one grossing film of all time is?
Avatar?
Correct. It's Avatar. Can you name either one line or two characters from the movie Avatar right now?
Not by name, but I mean, I remember multiple characters.
Right, but you couldn't name a single one.
No, but I'm not the best test case for that because I couldn't.
Name two Star Wars characters.
I mean, Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
Name two characters in Rocky.
Okay, fair point.
You know what I mean? Like, Avatar was a technical achievement. Like, I'm not even really trying to rip Avatar, but it was clearly a flawed script. A horrible script.
Still,
that movie leaves no taste in your mouth 10 years on.
That's true, but I'm not sure the goal of it was to leave a taste in your mouth 10 years on. The goal of it was to be a technical marvel.
If we're talking about, you know, I mean, something that in terms of, you know, I mean, I think Cameron wanted to make an impact.
Well, but here's a point. I can't name a character from Titanic either. I can't name a character from, you know, frankly,
I guess. You can name him from Terminator. Terminator 2, I bet.
Yeah, but the Terminator, Star Wars, the ones you're testing me on are things that are in the zeitgeist in a much bigger way than...
Yeah, well, that's because people were attracted to the original story, I dare say. I mean, look, you may even remember just kind of vague things. I bet it'd be hard for you to sort of delineate the plot of Avatar now.
No, I could tell you basically what happened. I actually dug that movie.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't a good film, but it was enjoyable to watch, and I enjoyed watching it in the theater in 3D with all the accoutrement.
Sure. Yeah, like it's a decent experience,
right.
But that's what I mean. But over time, the experience of being in the theater fades, and what you're left with is story and characters. And the story and characters from Star Wars are, you know, they're recycled. Beloved, but recycled.
The story is somewhat recycled. Yeah, I agree. But again, I'm not ready to sign the death warrant on this until I see how they play it out over the next film, at least. I mean, I hear your complaint. I think there are ways out.
Yeah, maybe. And look, it's weird because now it sounds like I didn't like the movie, and I did. I just, the longer it goes, the more this kind of bothers me. Like, you know, I'm very happy that they reset the state of the franchise. Abrams clearly is skilled enough to do that. Kasdan is clearly skilled enough to do that. So then why just redo the old first movie?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I think my answer...
They couldn't even come up with new planets. I mean, they had new names, but they're the same old planets.
Here's a potential answer. You want to kind of set up this discussion and then switcheroo on them in the second one.
God, I hope so.
I mean, that's possible in any event, right?
God, I hope so. All right.
Man, you really have... You've fallen off loving this movie. Maybe love is a strong word. I wouldn't even say love for... I thought Creed was a better movie, as a just to go back to that comparison, in and of itself, and less... Certainly less repetitive of the Rocky story. It was fresh and new in ways that this was not. But again, to me, the most important thing is still resuscitating the franchise.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I expected more than that. And it's weird because you're right. Like, you know, I'm going home for the holidays. We're going to watch a movie, you know, because we've got to fill some time somehow.
Naturally. Family, can't right? talk to each other for God's
sake.
Yeah,
yeah. God, no. And I have a good, decent feeling that it'll be Star Wars. And I was totally fine. I probably still am totally fine with seeing it again. So it's dumb. But at the same time, like, the more I think about it, the more I go, missed opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and I will also, while we're piling on a movie that we both enjoyed, I would just throw the thing that bothered me actually more than the repetitive nature of the storyline was, as I sort of mentioned, the assumptions that it clearly intends for you to make, which are part of believing that this is very much a repetition. If we make those assumptions, not only do we find ourselves watching a very repetitive story, but we also have an awful lot of questions that need answering. So, you know, there are issues to be worried about, but in general, very positive from my end.
I mean, really, you can just knock out the whole defense shields just by kidnapping one, like, lowly captain on that thing?
Yeah, man. I mean,
that seemed real easy.
Tell me about the, action or adventure film where the evil side is properly protected.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's always a fatal flaw. I guess. But their fatal flaw is they can't kill one dude who's really not that awesome.
Well, that was a fatal flaw in the Star Wars thing, too, right? You got guys running through laser fields. I'll give you.
I do think Stormtrooper shot accuracy was better this time around than it was in the original franchise. Yeah.
There were some guys going down.
Yeah, Stormtroopers hit some things this time around.
Yep. You know, I would say, too, it is a crime to put Lupita Nyong'o in your movie and not actually let us see her.
Agreed.
Oh, that's uncool.
That I agree with entirely. God, she's wonderful.
I kept waiting for her to show up on screen, and then halfway through, I'm like, gosh, she's the Yoda.
Yep.
All right, so I wanted to bring up something this is a thing that's a long-term gripe for me, and now it's in the news again. And I wanted to ask you about it because it's just not something that I understand. And that is the continued career of R. Kelly, who's got a new record coming out. And famously, this week had an interview with the Huffington Post that he walked out of when they wouldn't stop asking him questions about, you know, him being a child rapist. To me, it's weird, you know, that the discussion is, do we, you know, should R. Kelly have to keep answering these questions when I feel like the discussion is, why isn't everyone asking him these questions all the time?
Yeah. The tricky thing for me with these issues, which I would say is very similar to the Greg Hardy situation that we've seen in the NFL this year, is that, well, let me put it to you as a question. Who do you feel like is the appropriate authority to handle the situation? I mean, theoretically.
I feel like we as a society are the appropriate authority to handle the situation.
Well, what about the legal system?
He's already been through the legal system. He bought his way out of the legal system.
Well, that's my point.
So how
the legal system is A, supposed to take care of criminals, and B, supposed to release non-criminals. And it,
I guess.
Now, look, I understand R. Kelly is on video. Like I'm not debating whether or not R. Kelly did something wrong. It's obvious that he did. If the legal system is incapable of handling it, there has to be some sort of authority on this, and I'm not totally comfortable with that authority being the American public.
I guess, but here's the, clearly the most analogous situation is Bill Cosby, right? Who we, you know, discovered is a serial rapist.
Yeah.
I guess it's still allegedly. There's less proof of Bill Cosby doing this stuff than R. Kelly.
There's less proof, but I think there's a consensus that it's more heinous.
I guess, but it really shouldn't be. I mean, maybe are you under the impression that it's just this one girl on the videotape?
That's the impression I'm under.
No. He has settled literally dozens of lawsuits. Dozens. And that's before you get into the Aaliyah thing or the co-workers. Yeah. He's never been convicted of anything. Settles them all out of court because he's literally, you know, preying on poor teenage black girls. And they never think they're going to get a shot at justice. And he's going to offer them more money than they're ever going to see. And he just buys them. It is monstrous what this guy has done to little girls. And we've seen on videotape, like, it's not even like it's like garden variety. I don't even want to get into the specifics. Like, they're just so heinous. And when you look at the way that we've treated Bill Cosby, like, he's a pariah. He can't work. You look at the way that we treat Jared from Subway, you know what I mean? And not to, you know, Jared's done some awful things, but R. Kelly's literally done the same things.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly can still work, and people go around like nothing has happened, and they celebrate him and say he's a genius. And I like it. It literally boggles my mind, particularly because he's singing about it,
about that same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if Jared still had a career and it was like, but he was in like, you know, the kids charity business and people just went along with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's literally no possible way to listen to the man's music without it like slapping you in the face. And yet half of America is going to go, this album's going to do great. His tour is going to be sold out, just like you said.
Right.
What are we doing here, people?
I don't know. I don't know how you answer something like that. And again, I still, even though I agree with everything you just said, I don't know where to put the onus but on the legal system. And it's failed. And I think that's a huge problem in this country. And it's not a famous person problem. It's a rich person problem. It's the fact that if you have enough wealth, you probably won't be found guilty of anything in America.
Yeah, some of that's true. Some of it, I think, is actually a rape problem. You know what I mean?
Well, certainly we have that as well.
You're talking about a he said, she said type of crime.
Well,
so many of them don't get prosecuted. So many victims get blamed. You know, this girl literally on videotape getting peed on can't get justice.
Yeah, well, that's why I say it's a law enforcement problem. It's not even a he said, she said situation. And he has been found not guilty at times. I mean, I know at times he has also bought his way out of stuff and whatever, but he has gone through trial and been found not guilty. And if the evidence, and again, I'm agreeing with you, I'm not disputing this. If the evidence is such that reasonable people can conclude he is definitely guilty of something, and yet the legal system finds him not guilty on all counts, I don't know what the next step is, unfortunately. I'm not sure what we do.
But isn't the next step for at least us for just ignore him or to just keep asking him what's going on here?
Yeah, it should be.
Right? Like, can we just keep asking him? He shouldn't be able to go anywhere. The whole thing, it's so puzzling to me. You know, when things like the Greg Hardy thing happen and we get photos, right? And everyone's like, you know what I mean? And then there's a whole round of like, well, why did we have to see the photos? You know what I mean?
Right.
Or, people talk about domestic violence and they just go, oh, well, if there's just a video like in the Ray Rice, we have a video.
Yeah.
And yet, to this day, there are people like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what he did. He wasn't convicted of anything. Like, there is a videotape, you know? And I've even heard people go like, well, you know, it takes two. Those girls know what they're doing. He's, you know, that's who he is. The girl is literally 13.
And that's not
13.
I mean, and we all know that's a ridiculous position.
I just, it boggles my mind. And yet, I'm sure we all know people who are avowed R. Kelly fans. We all know people who will listen to this record and be excited about it. And I understand that, like, you know, there's some cognitive dissonance, and I'm sure we can all find music in our music collections or films in our film collections made by horrible people who have done horrible things. You know, Led Zeppelin messed around with underage girls, you know, and I wasn't there for that. Yeah. And there was a videotape, but yeah. I was there for this, and there is. And it's just, I just can't abide by it. And look, I'm a person that I don't watch Woody Allen movies either. You know what I mean? So, like,
I do.
To me, there's a little
and
bit
I
more
can't necessarily
consistency
defend that.
There. You know what I mean? But, like,
yeah,
I just don't. I don't see in this, like, this seems like the last of all cases where you could sort of maintain that separation, because the dude is singing about nothing but freaky sex.
Yep, it's all right. It's upsetting, and I don't know what the answer is to this sort of thing. I mean, I think that. This is not, I'm not making a judgment or saying anything to you, but this is why I wanted to do a podcast called The Toy Department. It's because stuff like this upsets and bothers me, and I don't know how to handle it. I'm not listening to R. Kelly, but I can't lie and say it's because I'm taking a dramatic stand. You know, it's not like I would listen to R. Kelly necessarily under other circumstances. Right. I've been aware that he, at the very least, had freaky, upsetting sex with underage girls, and that never necessarily, I'm not sure it really moved me on him, because I didn't necessarily care about R. Kelly one way or another. And you know, to a degree, that's embarrassing. But again, I don't know what we're supposed to do with this. And it's the same thing watching Greg Hardy play football. It upsets me seeing him on the field. And when the announcers have to say things like, listen, we're all human and we all understand, but here we are, we have to call the game, so we're just going to tell you what he does on the field. I'm not sure there's a better answer than that for a sports announcer or a toy department podcast or any of us besides the legal system. And I really think if there's someone to, besides what you said about, you know, whether it's protesting or just avoiding or speaking out about how he's a scumbag, the really, this is a fight, a controversy, an issue that has to be dropped at the doorstep of the American legal system. And we've got to figure that out before, you know, people like music fans and the NFL can do anything.
Well, all right. So this, and maybe there's a discussion here. You know, I think you're right. I mean, this is the reason why we call it the Toy Department podcast. And sometimes it is hard to, like, just keep that stuff just leaks in.
Of course, man. No. And I'm not saying we should never talk about this stuff, because it's that's the problem. It's the real world, like, crapping all over the toy department, and when we kind of are forced to deal with it. And by all means, I think that we should.
But let me throw this at you though. OJ, right? Yeah. That was a celeb case. The legal system spit out an outcome. And people just sort of decided, no, that's the, it failed. We're going to take matters into our own hands, essentially, right? OJ was a pariah until he was arrested again.
To a degree, yeah. But he was still going to country clubs, playing golf, and giving interviews about how he was searching for the real killer. I mean, what?
There was no point after which OJ was acquitted where you're like, man, I wouldn't mind being that guy, right?
No, of course not. But exactly.
I just don't understand why people don't demand that same sort of justice in this case, or Cosby justice. Cosby's still free.
Yeah, no,
he may never be prosecuted.
This is a good question, and some people get to skate a lot easier than others, and it's hard to say why.
But Cosby justice, y'all. That's all I'm asking for.
But do you think Greg Hardy has received Cosby justice?
Kinda, yeah.
Because at least he's a pariah. I mean, he's getting to make millions of dollars playing, but we all kind of think he's disgusting.
I think Greg Hardy has the Cosby justice to the extent of which, to the extent that you think he's likely to beat your ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he probably does not take a lot of crap in person because people think he might beat his ass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of course. But in the zeitgeist, he's a pariah.
Agreed.
And in fact, that's probably true of most of the cases we're talking about.
Yeah.
Most of the cases where we believe, I think for whatever reason, I think statutory, this is going to be horrible. I don't feel this way. I think the country views statutory rape as a second-class crime. I don't think we think of statutory rape, even when we should, the way we do of rape or domestic violence, because there's this there's this very patriarchal society idiotic tendency to say, oh well, it's just, yeah, maybe she was a little young, but they both consented, blah blah blah. And you know, that ignores the concept that a 13-year-old really can't consent to a 30-something year old man.
Mm-hmm. He used to hang out at choirs and like pick him out like he was a Van Halen at a concert.
Yeah.
High school choir.
But again, I'm still not sure. I understand asking for Cosby justice, but I don't know how you execute that or how you convince people that is the position they should take.
Well, I think part of it, and maybe it's part of the reason why I ran about this, because I think the further away we get from it, the less and less people actually know what happened.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
And it's like the more you know about what happened, the harder it is to just go, yeah, dun, 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 dun.
I can say I have not really enjoyed an R. Kelly song since the remix to Ignition in around 2004.
That's good. You didn't like his Lady Gaga work later on?
I can honestly say I have never pressed play on a Lady Gaga song in my life.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, should we switch gears? Let's talk about something fun.
Yes.
I feel like I brought the room down a little bit.
No, look, I understand why we had to do that, and I support it.
Should we talk about something from the world of sports?
Sure.
You got anything for us?
Yes, there was one other thing that's very much a levity concept that I would describe as the most, because this is not a sports world topic, but I would describe it as the most hilariously horrifying live television hosting gaffe in the history of live television.
Uh-huh.
Steve Harvey, for those who have missed it,
At this point, no one's missed it, though, right?
Probably not. But I would play the damn thing if it wasn't a two-minute soundbite. But Miss Universe pageant happened just the other day, which, you know, it's confusing because Mr. Universe is like bodybuilding, right? But right. Miss Universe is Miss America for the world, in other words, like a beauty pageant, and
Mr. Universe, right? It's also kind of one of these like World Series things where, like, you know, Venus doesn't have an entry in this contest. You know what I mean? Like, so it seems a little weird, right? It's just you know, Colombia and Peru and Philippines.
Well, I guess Colombia and Peru and the Philippines are producing the most attractive females these days?
I don't know.
There was a Miss USA in there. I know because, well, we'll get
there. Yeah, she was like in the mix.
She was helping out. So Steve Harvey's hosting the show, and I have not seen any of the show besides this part, so I don't really know what happens in a Miss Universe pageant, but I do know that at the end of the show, the host gets to announce the winner, and there appear to be sort of two finalists standing at the front of the stage. It was Colombia and the Philippines, and Steve Harvey says, and now it's time for the winner, and it's Miss Colombia. Congratulations. And they put a crown on her and hand her some flowers, and she's overwhelmed, and she's so thrilled and smiling and walking back and forth across the stage, kind of on display for 2 full minutes. And then Steve Harvey trickles back out and into the microphone, says, excuse me, I'm sorry, there's been a mistake. And then has to proceed to say that he misread the card. And in fact, it is Miss Philippines who is the winner of the Miss Universe pageant. And what ensued on stage was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Miss USA explaining to Miss Philippines, no, he's saying now that you have actually won this pageant. Go back up to the front. And then there's the Miss Colombia is so confused. She's still got the crown on. She's holding flowers. And Steve Harvey's telling Miss Philippines to take her victory walk. But they're not going to take the crown off the poor Colombia lady. And it's a mess up there. And at which point Steve Harvey says, hold on, let me take control of this. As if anything but himself had lost control of the entire proceedings. And then apologizes 6 times. He starts waving the card in front of people. See what happened here is I read first runner-up instead of the champion. And just hilarious.
My favorite part of this, my favorite Steve Harvey part of this for sure, is Still a great night.
Yes. It says still
a great night. No, it's not still a great night.
In fact, you know what? Now that I think of it, somebody did cut some of that audio, so I may be able to pull up a couple of sound bites at least. But, like, the stuff he was saying, he said still a great night. He said, please don't blame the ladies, as if anybody was going to be like, oh, what a horrible night. I can't believe those women screwed everything up. No, Steve Harvey, we all are quite aware of who exactly screwed things up here. I mean, I just don't even know. I don't know how something like that could possibly happen.
Here's how it could possibly happen. I think it was totally planned. Not
really?
A conspiracy guy. I think it's 100% a setup.
No.
I do.
Why would Steve Harvey agree to do that?
Why would... Because you, right now, are talking about the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah, but Steve Harvey...
Were you aware Steve that the Harvey Miss Universe like- pageant was happening... On like going into Sunday?
No, but
were
I didn't watch it.
Were you aware that was happening until this thing happened?
No, but I still don't see how that provides any value to Miss Universe. I'm not going to watch it next year.
Because
I watch
you might,
one
you
YouTube
don't know
video.
What's going to happen. It's a brand. They had more. That happened on a Sunday night, right? They beat Sunday Night Football in terms of Twitter conversation while the football game was going on. That which is not a thing that really ever happens during football season. You know what I mean? So in this world, right, where you have all of these television shows that are just fighting for mindshare, fighting for eyeballs, fighting for, hey, we need to stick out in this sea of 8 gajillion channels and endless on-demand options. What better way? How else are people going to be talking about Miss Universe?
But I mean... But then it's not good. I don't see what.
Doesn't matter if it's not good. Look at the.
Does talking about Miss Universe
has
really?
Has the Trump candidacy taught you nothing? It doesn't matter if it's good or not.
Yeah, but Miss Universe is not trying to win a vote. They would want eyeballs, and
right. They got eyeballs.
Kind of.
They got buzz. That's what matters.
Buzz, but it's not. I don't know if it's valuable buzz.
Here's the
and
proof.
Again, the biggest
the
thing is Steve Harvey would have had to be like, okay, I will make. The biggest fool ever out of myself.
Sure.
No worries.
Steve Harvey's he's got a radio show, right? He's added affiliates this week.
Oh my God.
Here's the proof in the pudding. Not that this is not actual proof because it didn't happen yet. Does Steve Harvey host that show again next year? Yes or no?
I think it has been announced that he is.
Yeah. All right. So then yes.
Let me check.
Of course it's set up.
Let me check on that actually.
If that was completely spontaneous and real,
yeah, multi-year deal.
Why on earth would you bring him back?
You bring him back to be like, yeah.
If
multiple
Chris
sources
Rock
confirm.
Read the wrong name at the Oscars.
Okay, wait.
Is
here.
He hosting next year? That night, Santino Rice. You know who Santino Rice is?
No, I don't.
He was a contestant on the early seasons of Project Runway when it was like really hot. You know what I mean? He tweeted out, just so you guys know, I was a judge at the Miss Universe contest, and it is fake as hell.
Really?
I'm not saying that blows the lid off of it, but like, to me, I just think, you know, this is a Trump-owned contest for a year. Like, they're trying to make a TV show.
Interesting.
I just...
All right. Can I say this? I don't really care.
No, I don't
I'm
either.
Still
going
to laugh at Steve Harvey's dumbass.
By the way. Yeah, I agree.
Also,
still
did
hilarious.
You see Emmett Smith's reaction?
No, Emmett Smith was there?
Emmett Smith is there. It's the most, it's tremendous. I'm going to ruin it for you to a degree. But basically, there's an Instagram where somebody near the front is videotaping the thing with a cell phone, right? And... I think they start videotaping when Steve Harvey comes back out, and the videotape shows Steve Harvey being like, I'm sorry, I had the wrong thing, blah, blah, blah. It's actually Miss Philippines. And then the phone sort of turns for audience reaction, and someone to the right, like turns to the right, and someone is just shaking their head, turns to the left, and there's Emmett Smith, and he looks directly into the camera and says, how you do that? And then it pans back off of him just like that. Just and he's like got this little smile like he was saving that line. He nails it. It's really, really
so
very
great.
Enjoyable.
By the way, for those of you who are regular readers of Deadspin, actually, even if you're not a regular reader of Deadspin, they do a Thursday football preview column called the Jamboree. I can't recommend it highly enough. And there's a segment in that column every week called Emmett Smith's Lock of the Week, where he just mispronounces things and gets things wrong and makes horrible bets, and it is hilarious. So,
wait, hold on. It's like a fake Emmett Smith?
Yeah, it's a fake Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith's Lock of the Week.
That's funny.
Check it out. It's definitely, the whole call is worth your time with the Emmett Smith part.
Well, that was the conversation we were having yesterday around the station watching the Emmett Smith video. It's like, he's never been that good on any camera ever before in his life. He's one of the worst analysts ever. Just terrible on air. And he's ready and he nails his line and the camera moves off him. And that'll be his best on-screen performance ever.
It's almost like he was prepared for it.
Yeah, boom. Okay, but there's no way, even if it's a total conspiracy, nobody told Emmett Smith beforehand. If they did, that was one of the most genius things ever.
That's right. That's right.
Not only will we create this incredible controversy, but we're going to improve Emmett Smith's television career tenfold.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I once did a contest with Scott, the late Scott Weiland. You had to get on stage and do the megaphone intro to Dead and Bloated, which I thought was awesome. But it was a contest that involved getting Scott Weiland to do thing X at time Y, right? He's got to remember to bring the person out on stage, and it's all got to happen. And that was hours and hours of agony, like, and just tension of, like, is this going to happen? Can we actually make this happen? And he did it, but man. The amount of work that goes into that one little moment can be more than you think.
Yeah, I buy that.
So props to whoever propped Emmett up.
He's got like a purple suit on too. I mean, it's really good. Really good stuff. You got to find that Instagram.
All right. I will definitely try to check that out. Hey, just real quick. Is it just me or has football been kind of crappy this year?
I was having a really interesting conversation about this last night with a friend of mine who has officially stopped watching for a lot of reasons. But let's just say he grew up a fan of the Washington franchise and the combination of their upsetting bigotry and the league's various other problems have turned him off completely.
I meant this, by the way, strictly as a toy department question. I'm not even talking about
the
other
stuff. Did. I'm getting there.
Tell the truth, Koski. Tell the truth.
Yeah. Tell the truth. This is... It's interesting because I have to say, while I feel those objections, the non-toy department objections, and understand them, I actually love the sport of football more and more all the time. And while I hear you that this year has been rough in a lot of ways because there's not that many good teams, injuries have been just a huge issue all across the league and happening to a lot of the best players. For me, as I learn more and more with almost every game I watch about the minutiae and strategical elements of the way the game is coached, I'm sucked in further and further to watching the sport in maybe a more technical and analytical way, but I enjoy it even more.
Interesting.
So I mean,
because you're a Bears fan. I'm a Falcons fan.
And it's miserable being a Bears fan, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. Walking the park being a Falcons fan, let me tell you. Those two teams are terrible.
Yeah.
And you're watching them every week, I'm guessing, right? I'm watching every week.
Every week.
And like half the time, I'm like, why? Why am I doing this?
Sometimes I do say that. But then I watch, you know, the night game or a Monday nighter that's great, and I'm fired right back up again. And when was that?
I mean, I guess there were a couple good Sunday night games this year, I don't know.
Monday's been rough. Monday's been rough this year. It's almost like the league was trying to stick it to ESPN. But
I don't buy that theory, by the way.
No, neither do I. But it's been that bad, is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I do think there have been some good Sunday nighters. And look, I'm 9 hours of football every Sunday, so I usually see a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Look, if you watch anything for 9 hours, you'll see something decent.
Yeah,
happen.
And even in the games that aren't great, I like to learn about the game. I like to learn about the way teams are playing defense, and to a degree, I'm still able to do that every Sunday.
I
enjoy that.
I'm not saying it's been ruined. I'm just saying the quality of play is just poor.
How much of that do you think is just injuries, though? I think it's a big part. I don't think football coaching is worse now than it ever was. I think football coaching has always been suspect. I think the quality of play has more to do with roster turmoil and player talent, you know, via injury than it does anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we definitively say that the injury rate is higher, or does it just feel higher?
Because
we've been prominent guys getting hurt.
Well, I have not done the research, but prominent guys getting hurt is worse for the game, I think, than non-prominent guys getting hurt.
Sure.
Prominent guys are prominent because they did something right.
Yeah, but, you know, next man up, man.
Thanks, football, Derek.
It's on to Cincinnati or whatever.
Yes.
When we get to the playoffs and we start winnowing down the giant morass of mediocrity that exists, we've got whole divisions that are bad. Whole divisions. And then, like, and you cut some of that, then you start to go, all right, well, you know, I can get up for that. I can get up for the AFC playoffs. Get up for the NFC playoffs. But
and I will.
And I will. I'm sure. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch, but I will say, I've been getting more and more into the Premier League.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years.
I wish I could. I don't know what my barrier to the Premier League is. I played soccer at a higher level than any other sport. I probably understand the game certainly as well, if not better than any other sport. But for whatever, and I've even chosen a team, which granted has fallen into disrepair since I chose them in Chelsea, but I can't commit to it for whatever reason. I can't get it into my routine that I'm actually watching soccer games regularly, even though I greatly enjoy really good soccer. I don't know what it is.
All right. I think I can look, and I say this. For those of you listening, I'm not going to preach soccer. I'm not one of those people who's going to try that feels like everyone in the world should watch the world's game or blah, blah, blah. Screw that. But I think you, Kolsky, I think I can convert you. And I've turned a few folks over the last couple of years.
Do we want to tease this ahead till next week?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I think we can. I'll make a case for watching soccer.
Let's do this.
I was just going to make the point that having soccer on Sunday mornings. And maybe this is the best-selling point. Maybe this will just be the one thing I'll throw out there for you. Having soccer on Sunday mornings has completely eliminated any need for me to ever watch a pregame show, and it's delightful.
Mm. Yeah.
The game run right up to the NFL kick. It's perfect.
Well, I can tell you the first barrier right away, which I think you already realize.
Is it diving?
No, it's West Coast living.
Oh, West Coast. Yeah. Yeah, but it's manageable. It's manageable.
Is it? 6 a.m. Sundays, that's manageable for you?
That's where I got into the games.
Oh, God.
Well, it's, you know, look,
I'm tired
you don't have
just
to
thinking about waking
live.
Up at 6 a.m.
You don't have to watch everything live.
All right.
You know
Make
what
it,
I mean?
Write down some points. Let's do this. January 2016. 2016 is the year Derek gets Kolsky to watch Premier League soccer.
I might get you, you have to get you off of Chelsea, but I might get you in before the end of this season. I think you could be headed down for the title race.
I would like to be, and not just because it's the world's game, because it really is. I love the sport of soccer, and I love to watch it when it's played well. And my, you know, historically, my opposition has always been it's impossible to watch soccer played well except for the World Cup, and that's not true anymore in America. So
not true.
I need
not
to
true.
Get it together.
And people don't realize this. All right, well, I'll save some of this, but people don't realize is that the quality of play in these games is better than the World Cup. It's
yeah.
better.
No, I do realize that, so I really have no excuse. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
All right.
I think we're at the bottom of the podcast now.
I'm going to
get kicked out of the studio.
Did it just end?
No.
Have a great holiday. Thank everyone who's an early adopter to this podcast. By all means, tell someone you know. Like
Tell
all
your friends.
We don't have Bill Simmons' ad budget.
But we're just as good, damn it.
But we're going to exist on word of mouth. And so next week, soccer and Barack Obama on the podcast.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. Barack Obama's not going to join us.
Come on, man. We could have sold that. You could have announced that beginning of next week once people already tuned in, blowing the big tease before we even have a chance for it to work.
Damn it. God. Damn it. This is why we're not there yet.
Hey, but we might talk about Obama. You never know.
Probably not, though.
No, probably not.
Hey, happy holidays, and I'll see you in 2016.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.